Begin. Let me continue. There we go. I'd like to call the meeting of the Application Review Committee to order. Today's date is July 1st, 2021. The time is 7:30 a.m. The purpose of this meeting is to substantively review psychologist applications. Ms. Folks, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Dr. Meyer?
Present.
Dr. Gill?
Present.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Here's my agenda. Okay. Do we have, yes. Agenda item 3, approval of minutes for April 30th, May 28th. Are there any changes, additions, or corrections to the regular session meeting minutes? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the April 30th, 2021 minutes?
So moved.
Seconded. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Is there a motion to approve the May 28th, 2021 notes?
So moved.
Seconded. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any objections? No, I already said that. Motion carries. Okay, moving on to agenda item number 4, discussion regarding approval of psychology applicants. Do we have any applicants present with us today?
Yes, sir. Thomas Barber.
Okay.
B5.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Yes, John Bradford.
Thank you. And anyone else?
Yes, Lauren Melendres.
All right. Thank you. Welcome all. So why don't we start with B, requesting approval to sit for ECPP and licensure with Thomas Barber. And I can start with that one. Dr. Barber is reapplying for to take the ECPP and licensure. He graduated from Texas Professional School of Psychology, Argosy, in 2014. School's not APA accredited. However, I didn't see any concerns with coursework. Plus, he's been his application has been approved previously. He had verification and training plan for pre-doctoral hours. Also completed his internship at Greater Southwest Consortium that was verified and is APA or APIC approved, had references. I didn't see any problems with the application.
I didn't see any problems either, but I do have a question regarding this case. He's requesting accommodations, and I wonder if these accommodations are appropriate to be approved by the board. And I just would like other people's opinion, maybe even Ms. Galvin. I think his accommodations are, he's asking
for— Be careful. Yeah, just so we don't disclose anything on the record, but you can discuss the accommodations if that's—
Yeah, I'm just gonna state the accommodations as I understand them.
Okay.
He's asking for a time extension, a private room, and a small computer screen. And I'm just asking if that's appropriate and appropriate for the board to approve.
And my only question is whether that's possible. Can the testing center make those accommodations? Typically, we move these to the full board for approval of the accommodations. And so I don't see any problems with the application, but I would suggest that we move it to the full board for approval of the accommodations or discussion of the accommodations.
Okay, I would agree.
So just so I'm clear, you're approving him to take the exam, but you want the full board to discuss whether to approve the accommodations.
Correct. Do we need to set recommend a decision about the accommodations prior to sending it to the board?
You don't have to, and you can, if the board approves those accommodations, then the applicant and, if necessary, board staff can work with the testing center to see what needs to be done to ensure that the accommodations are provided.
Okay. Is that okay with you, Dr. Gill?
Yes.
All right. So I would make a motion that we move Dr. Barber's application to the full board for discussion of accommodations with the recommendation that the application be approved, but discussion for accommodations.
And I second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Dr. Barber, thank you for being with us. The next board meeting is next Friday. And so your application looks good. It'll just be a matter of the full board discussing accommodations.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us. All right, why don't we skip over to E, requesting approval for licensure by Universal Recognition. We can start with Dr. Bradford. Dr. Gill, would you like to take that?
Sure, this is a request. He has a CID. He received his California license in November of 2005. He is applying for universal recognition. He received his CID from Alliant University in California. I think the application meets all the criteria. I don't see any problems with this application.
Nor did I. Next one is Dr. Melendrez. She graduated from University of Texas Austin in 2011, is licensed in New York since 2013, California since 2015, had a driver's license to show residency. I did not see any problems with her application.
I agree.
All right. So I would make a motion to move Dr. Bradford's and Dr. Melendrez's applications to the full board for approval of universal recognition license.
And I second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you both for joining us. Your applications will go to the full board next Friday and shouldn't have any further discussion on approving those. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Why don't we just finish off this section? Okay. Dr. Anderson?
Oh, okay. Diane Anderson, PhD, has her California license since 2002, has evidence of being a resident of Arizona. Now, one issue here is there's an expiration date of 6/30/21 for a California license. That's yesterday. I wonder if that's a problem or if we can just go ahead and approve this. It otherwise meets all the criteria from what I see.
I don't know if Heidi's checking to see if it has been renewed or is there a pending renewal application?
Not to my knowledge.
Chair, Ms. Galvin, we can check on that. I think that we can, at a minimum, verify online. My concern is that if we're required to have a formal verification of licensure, we can't count on the state of California to issue it in time for the board meeting. So I guess we need to decide whether online verification is acceptable.
From my experience, we've done online verifications as an update if we received the initial verification first, which we did. So
very good.
And we could always vote to approve it pending receipt of formal verification. But as it stands right now, it appears that she does not have a current license.
And I will go to the website to see what I can confirm now.
Okay, thank you. So we can come back to yes. her. Next is Dr. Bestwick. Graduated from Fielding Graduate University in 2008, has a driver's license to establish residency, was licensed in Washington in 2009 and Georgia 2009. I didn't see any problems with this application.
Nor did I. And that's it for universal recognition or?
Still have Victoria Wynn.
Okay. Victoria Wynn has a PsyD from Loma Linda University. She has a Texas license that expires in 2022. I felt that this application for universal recognition met all the criteria. I don't see any problems with this application.
Nor did I.
Mr. Chair, I have confirmed that Dr. Diane Anderson has renewed her license through June 30th of 2023. There are no adverse actions associated with her record at this time.
Great, thank you. So I don't see any problems with Dr. Anderson's application then.
Nor do I.
Okay. I would make a motion to move the remaining applicants, Anderson, Bestwick, and Wynn, to the full board for approval of universal recognition licensure.
And I second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. All right, let's go back to the top A1. Approval to sit for ECPP only. Dr. Aaron Hanks-Moore graduated from NAU in the counseling and school program in 2020, APA approved, did not submit pre-doc hours. She completed an internship at University of Arizona College of Medicine. Completed 2,000 hours, verification was received, it's APA approved. Now, the question I had is, this isn't for temporary licensure, but do we still have to have a training agreement for postdoctoral hours for the ECPP only? Because at one point she does note that she's at an agency COPA that she started in August of 2020, but there's no verification or training plan or training agreement.
Mr. Chair, this is Kathy. For ECPP only, we do not need a postdoc training plan. That is only for the temporary license. When someone is applying for the temporary license at ECPP.
Okay. Then I didn't see any problems with this application.
Nor did I.
Okay. So I'll make a motion to move Dr. Hanks-Moore application to the full board for approval to sit for the ECPP only.
And I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Next is B, requesting approval to sit for ECPP and licensure.
The first one is Abigail Gallen, PsyD. She received her PsyD from Wright State in July of 2020. She had three different pre-internships. It seemed that the numbers were in order, and she earned over 2,000 hours in her pre-internship. She also earned, for her internship, she earned over 2,000 hours at the VA in Phoenix. I didn't see any problems with this application.
The only issue I had was for the pre-doctoral hours or pre-internship hours at Wright State University Counseling Center. That was for 750 hours, but there was not enough supervision for that. That being said, between the other ones that did look good, she has enough. She still has over 1,000 hours to go along with the 2,000 from the VA. So just wanted to make that note, but I don't, she has enough hours and everything else looked good to me.
Okay.
So next is Dr. Corey Preble, graduated from Fielding Graduate University in 2020, APA approved, submitted a total of 2,019 hours for pre-internship hours. However, we only had a signed verification form for the Duke Pain Clinic, which was 617 hours. For the other placements at AZ Therapy, there was written, like typed out information consistent with what's required on the verification form, but no accompanying signature from the training institution verifying that. So my question is, were all of those documents received together and from the institution directly as opposed to being submitted by the applicant?
Mr. Chair, committee members, yes, these were sent in by Dr. Reed, who signed them. I did verify the sender. We had numerous emails back and forth to correct it. And if you look at the page 20, you'll see from Ms. Reed, jreed@fielding.edu. She sent that was the final email with the corrected second page.
Okay, so okay, so the where you see, let me find the first one. On page 36, that's the information that's supplied on both pages of the our verification form. That page was received with the rest of the documents
Well, that page is part of the written training plan documents that were sent in, and those pages are not required to come from the supervisor. The training plan can come from either the supervisor or the applicant.
Because this was my concern, was the pages 22 and 23 are our form, which has Dr. Reed's signature, but this is for Duke University Pain Clinic only, verifying 617 hours. Now, if you look at all of the information and questions that are on this form, that's what's being detailed on page 36 for Arizona Therapy Works. And so it goes through hours and who the supervisor was, but there's not a signature saying that this was acknowledged by the training director, Dr. Reed. So we only have verification for one of her sites. So did Dr. Reed only send the two pages, the page 22 and 23?
The pages I received, you know what, let me go look at that direct email and see the email chain and see what came from who.
Because if Dr. Reed sent in those other pages with the information, then I'm okay accepting it. But as of right now, the way this looks is Dr. Reed isn't acknowledging anything other than the 617 hours that occurred at Duke, which puts Dr. Preble short of sufficient hours. So while Ms. Folks is looking at that, the rest of the information, she did complete an internship for 2001 hours at NAU Counseling, which is APA or APIC approved, had references. So if we have verification of those other pre-internship hours, she's good. Otherwise, she's short on hours.
Okay, so the two pages 22 and 23, where we have on 22 verification of Arizona Therapy Works, and then on 23 Duke University Pain Clinic, those are not adequate.
Page oh. Wow. Okay, I don't know. It must have been too late last night. Never mind. They are both there. Sorry. I don't know how I missed that. Thank you.
Okay, good.
I don't see any problems with this. Thank you, Ms. Folks.
Yeah, I just caught that myself. There was some confusion on these pre-internship hours because there was no verification for her other hours that she worked at Arizona Therapy Works in 2017 to 2018 and in 2019. But absent that lack of verification for those hours, there's still the 866 hours that she provided verification for and from Duke. So I think we're in good shape.
Yep. Sorry for the confusion. I think we're good here.
Okay.
Next.
Okay. Next is John Charlson, received his PhD from, this is an application for ECCC and licensure, received his PhD from Seattle Pacific University. He submitted his internship verification at the Phoenix VA for 2,080 hours. And he also has postdoc verification with a written plan that I could see at part of a postdoc at the VA. So I didn't see any problems with this application.
Nor did I. Next is Ruby Howard. This application was previously reviewed in April. So we asked for additional information about the verification for her pre-internship hours at Arizona psychological assessment. That verification has since been received, which documented 289 hours. She also has, we previously had verification and we already had the training plan for that site. And then we also have verification and training for two other locations for over, totaling over 1,000 hours for pre-internship hours. She graduated from Argosy, transferred to Chicago Professional, or was at Argosy, transferred and graduated from Chicago Professional School, APA approved. The residency requirements are waived for that. She completed internship 2,000 hours at Citrus Health, verified, APA approved, had references. I didn't see any additional problems with this application.
I don't either. I think this application was for part one only. And she applied on October the 16th. So just wanted to add that. You probably should emphasize part one and part two and or just part one for purposes of approval of the application.
That's a good point. So out of this section only, Dr. Charlson is part one and part two, and all the others were previously or submitted prior to the deadline, and so are part one only. Okay, so I would make a motion to move the remaining applicants from this section. Wayan, Preble, Charlson, and Howard to the full board for approval of the application to set for the ECCC and licensure.
And I second that motion.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Next is C, requesting approval for licensure by waiver.
Yeah, this is Celine McNellis Klein, EDD. She is, the license by waiver for less than 10 years. She's licensed in Michigan up until 2023 and in Wisconsin till September of 2021. She received her doctorate in education from Boston University in counseling psychology and sports psychology. I reviewed the verifications. They seem to be in order. She received 2,000 hours. It wasn't an APA program, but it was APPIC approved. And her postdoc at University of Denver Counseling Clinic, she earned 2,000 hours. So I think the only thing was that was lacking from my review is there was no picture ID. And otherwise, I think everything is okay. Now, I don't know, maybe we can prove this, assuming that they submit a picture ID before the board meeting next Friday, assuming that you don't see any other problems with this.
Mr. Chair, committee members, I believe that may be my error. I'm pretty sure I have an ID for her, but I'll check and confirm it if it's there. Make sure it's there for the when it goes on the consent agenda.
We have the picture. We just don't. Do we need more?
We do need ID, but I'm pretty sure I have it. Okay. I'm going to do a quick check.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, so next we'll come back. To her. Next is William McCuddy, licensure by waiver, less than 10 years, licensed in West Virginia, graduated from Marquette University in 2019, APA approved, submitted for internship 2,000 hours at West Virginia University School of Medicine. We received a verification. It was APA approved. Also completed 1,680 hours postdoc at West Virginia University School of Medicine. We received verification and training plan. He submitted references. I didn't see any problems with this application.
Nor did I. And next one is Nancy Grau. This is an application for a license by waiver, 10 or more years. She had licensure in New Mexico, Ohio, and Colorado. I think the New Mexico license is now expired, but there was a disciplinary action in this case where the ethical and or legal issues were reviewed and a settlement was made. I think she sent a letter. I don't want to go through the details of that, but a settlement was agreed upon with the New Mexico board in 2019. It looks now that there's no outstanding issues with the board at this with the New Mexico board at this time. She received her PhD from New Mexico State University, and there are verifications for internship at Texas Tech Counseling. The references appear to be in order. And I don't have any problems with this application, but I have some concerns. If Dr. Grau is available, I would have raised the issue of proper use of resources that would enable her to conduct her practice perhaps more effectively. The read I have on this is that she got into trouble because she didn't have the support, collegial support, perhaps supervision and or consultation that I think we all need in providing clinical care. And I just wanted to make that point, but I think this application is subject for approval.
Yeah, I had some concerns as well. Her explanation of the settlement doesn't seem to address everything that's actually in the settlement. For example, there's something about money that was due needed to be cleared through bankruptcy. And I couldn't tell if that was like a client was saying they wanted their money back and didn't want to pay for services because there may have been problems. It was unclear that this was solely a friend of hers being concerned about her welfare and her ability to practice. And so I don't feel like there's been a sufficient explanation of this, as well as she just kind of left New Mexico. And I don't know if this even came up because she was trying to reapply for her New Mexico license. I don't feel comfortable approving it without receiving some clarification on this.
Well, if I could make a comment in reviewing this particular case, it wasn't made clear to me what the actual violations were. She reported that she had a friend that actually submitted a complaint about her. But we didn't know the nature of the complaint. I was willing to let this go because the New Mexico board did agree to a settlement. So is it necessary for this subcommittee to get more clarification? I think that's what you're saying. So I can't disagree with that. Is that?
As far as I could tell, and Ms. Galvin, maybe you could clarify this, it looked like since she wasn't planning on renewing, they just said, okay, your license is expired and we'll move on, as opposed to maybe, because they didn't address the accuracy of the complaint. That wasn't looked into. They just said, okay, you've moved, you're somewhere else. So we're just going to say you don't have your license anymore. But I wasn't sure if they were saying she couldn't apply for a renewal, or
I couldn't find a statement from the New Mexico board clarifying what you know, what they determined and what the basis for that determination was. They just said that the settlement was agreed upon. So it kind of leaves us in the dark.
Yeah. Ms. Galvin, did I miss, am I missing anything, or do you have any clarification on
that? I agree with you that I think that the action or inaction from New Mexico was less than clear. I don't know if this was an agreement not to renew in lieu of further administrative proceedings from New Mexico. So I agree with you. I think it's less than clear, but there are still a number of questions that remain.
Okay.
Is it appropriate for us to request clarification of what violations the New Mexico board addressed and the basis for their conclusions?
If any, yes, you can make that request.
And so would we make this a request for additional information to come back through here, or just send it to the full board and encourage? Well,
I think, yeah, you'd have the right to table it, request that additional information, and then, you know, view it and make a conclusion, so you can make a recommendation to the full board. I think you can do that here.
Okay. So that'd be my preference, is to first address it here, that additional information. And what I'd be looking for is documentation of the actual complaint or complaints, because I couldn't tell if there were one or two. And hopefully Dr. Grau could be present here for us to... or she could be encouraged to be here to ask questions for us to ask questions about this. And then additional information about what the final status was with New Mexico, whether she was eligible for reapplication or this was simply dropped because she wasn't going to go for renewal.
I would agree. Is there a motion on the table, or do we?
A consensus, you know, from the committee, just so long as staff is clear what they need to request. I don't think we need a motion.
All right.
All right. And then if we, Ms. Folks, did you find anything about the ID for Dr. McNellis Klein?
Yes, I did. I emailed you a copy of her passport. I've also added it to the G Drive folder. She did send it with her application. It was my error that left it out. I apologize. It's when I was pulling an all-nighter for this one.
I see it. Great. Thank you. So I don't have any other problems with that application.
Okay.
So I would make a motion to move Drs. McNellis Klein and McCuddy to the full board for approval for licensure by waiver.
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. And Ms. Folks, let me know if you need additional information about the request for additional information from Dr. Grau.
I will. I'll send you the draft letter. I will re-listen to your discussion as I was looking for the passport for Manella's client, so I may have missed a couple of things. What I have written down is that you wanted additional documentation of the complaints, if there was one or two, request her presence for an interview, and what the final status was with New Mexico. Is she eligible to apply for a license?
Okay. All right. Last, we have D requesting approval for temporary licensure in ECCC. Whose turn is it?
I think it's yours, Dr. Marr.
Thank you.
Because I did Dr. Grau.
All right. Dr. Phillips graduated from Alliant International University in 2020. It's APA approved. Submitted 2,000 hours for internship at Southwest Behavioral Health. Received verification. That's APA approved. She also completed her postdoc at Southwest Behavioral Health. We had verification. We have a training agreement that was established on January 2021. References were included. I didn't see any concerns with this application.
Nor did I.
All right. I would make a motion to move Dr. Phillips to the full board for approval of her application for temporary licensure in ACCC.
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. I think that covers all of the applications. Moving on, agenda number 5, any new agenda items for future meetings? Hearing none.
Excuse me?
Yes.
My name's Nicole Steele, and I received an email from Kathy yesterday regarding my application.
Yeah, Ms. Steele, your application is going to be heard at the 9:30 meeting on the Committee on Behavior Analysts.
All right, fantastic. I just had the link, but I didn't have a time, so I wanted to make sure I didn't miss my appointment.
No problem.
I'll be back in at 9:30. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for clarifying.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Agenda number 6, adjournment. Do I hear a motion?
I make the motion that we adjourn.
Seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. I meant to also say thank you all on the record for all the work in preparing for this. Can that be slipped back in there? But I really do appreciate all the help and support, as well as the work as we're discussing to address these issues. So thank you all.